Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program that since 2003 pulls no punches. This is Lou Cavalli. My colleague, Elizabeth Cuppett Cavalli, and I are coming to you on WWCR, shortwave, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on a frequency of 4.840 megahertz, repeating on Saturdays at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard at WWCR.com and on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, on 5 p.m. on Mondays. Also on KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. You can also use the call-in number for KStar Talk Radio, and that number is 1-605-562-5330. Once again, that's 1-605-562-5330. And the regular phone rates apply, as they would to any such call. Once again, tonight we continue our series of Ike's Warnings. You visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, for all of the earlier vital Ike Warnings in our October 2020 listening archives. Tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. Also see our crucial articles there under Breaking News.
This is Elizabeth. We are certainly in the eye of the hurricane, Lou. Deceptive calm before the winds and waters rage in 2 weeks. Will Almighty God show mercy once more on a gravely sinning America? Or will some fearful scenarios begin as judgment on America murdering its unborn children resumes? First, we have a little blitzkrieg of breaking headlines. First, a coronavirus bulletin. As of Friday, October 16th, the UK had 30,000 new cases. The Netherlands, 7,700 new cases. Belgium, Wednesday, October 14th, had 7,565. France is actually putting in curfews until Christmas. The U.S. was up 25% with 65,327 new cases. And here in Maryland, on Wednesday, October 14th, it was reported there were 575 new cases. Thursday, October 15th, 630 new cases. And by Saturday, October 17th, new cases reached 798. Tuesday, October 20th, new cases reached 590, hopefully starting to level off a little bit. But these numbers, you see, are more like they were back some months ago before it had leveled down to maybe 300, something like that. And, Lou, what is this new story about Maryland starting a mass vaccination plan? And, you know, I have to look back and think, at the time we were on the GCN network, Prince George's County, Maryland, fooled the parents who didn't realize they had any rights. And they were told they had to take their children and get them vaccinated or they couldn't attend school. And they used the police dogs on them. And I was very worried at that time because I thought if it happened in your school, you were in a high school, God would want you to stand up and speak out. But we were trying to do the radio work, and God took care of his work, too, because it never occurred at your school, did it?
No, that's right.
No.
It didn't.
So you were not forced to make that moral choice. What about this article that appeared in our local paper, the Eastern Maryland Star-Democrat, Lou?
This was from Wednesday, October 21st. The headline reads, Maryland submits mass vaccination plan to the CDC.
I hope you heard the word mass.
Yes, that's,
right. That's not a fair distance from forced.
Exactly,
total.
Yes.
Mandatory.
Dateline Annapolis, Governor Larry Hogan has released the state of Maryland's draft plan for how it would implement and distribute mass COVID-19 vaccinations. Hogan said Tuesday, October 20th, that the state has submitted draft mass vaccination plans to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Mr. Hogan said, quote, in anticipation of a COVID-19 vaccine, Maryland stands ready to order, distribute, and administer it effectively and rapidly as soon as a vaccine becomes available. He also said in a statement, the state of Maryland's plan for this historic undertaking will immediately make the vaccine available to Marylanders at highest risk of developing complications from COVID-19, as well as our critical frontline healthcare workers and essential workers in public safety and education, unquote. There is some public resistance and skepticism to a coronavirus vaccine. A poll earlier this month by Goucher College in Baltimore found 55% of rural voters in the state, including on the Eastern Shore, 61% of African Americans, and 53% of conservatives were not interested in getting a COVID-19 vaccine, even if it was free. The state's initial mass vaccination plans call for a phased approach with frontline healthcare workers, patients, and staff at nursing homes and assisted living centers, as well as essential workers, that's in quotes, essential workers, such as public safety personnel and teachers, getting in the first round of vaccinations. The initial wave of vaccinations will also focus on seniors and those with underlying medical conditions.
And I have to interrupt, Lou, when your job was strangely cut. You're such an expert teacher, and we went to the scripture. It was the righteous man is taken away from the evil to come. And we see now where this vaccination process is going to start with the frontline workers, the teachers, and those poor hapless souls that the population culling globalists want to get rid of. And we remember in those three or four Democratic states, Whitmer, Wolf, Cuomo, Murphy, remember the terrible number of deaths when COVID-positive people were sent back into nursing homes. We just can't imagine this. What else does that article say, Lou?
It goes on to say the virus has had more severe health impacts on older patients and those with pre-existing conditions. Inmates in prisons and jails, as well as correctional staff, have also been listed among those who would get COVID-19 vaccines in Maryland's initial rollout, according to draft documents submitted to the CDC. There are 855,580 people in Maryland's first phase of its vaccine deployment, according to the state's plans. Maryland's plans call for broader implementations of a vaccine to the general public in second and third phases, according to the state's plans just submitted to the CDC. State officials expect a COVID vaccine will require two doses. The Maryland Department of Health will spearhead the state's effort, along with other state agencies and the local health departments. Maryland's plans also outline online dashboards and databases that will be used to track vaccinations. Quote, the Maryland Department of Health has worked collaboratively with our many partners in both the public and private sectors to develop a draft plan that will ensure the swift, safe, and equitable administration of a life-saving COVID-19 vaccine, said Maryland Department of Health Secretary Robert Neal. He went on to say, we stand ready to take additional action and operationalize this effort as soon as a vaccine becomes available, unquote. Maryland is home to more than 40 pharmaceutical and medical research companies that have been working on a coronavirus vaccine, Hogan said. President Donald Trump has touted a coronavirus vaccine, though a significant number of conservatives, along with African Americans, are still skeptical about getting vaccinations. Trump has talked about using the military to help with vaccination efforts.
And what did you hear, Lou, in regard to the escalation of COVID here in Maryland and New York?
New York has put Maryland back on a list of states where anyone coming to New York, because of the high incidence of COVID in Maryland, anyone coming to stay for a while in New York will have to quarantine for 14 days. Those who pass through the state on the way to New England, let's say, from Maryland, would have to quarantine. But those, oh, I think they maybe it said those who were only there for a day wouldn't have to. But if they're going to stay a while, they've got to quarantine.
It's just vice versa from earlier in the spring, isn't it, when anybody
yes.
coming here from New York had to do the same thing in quarantine. In general, we think that our governor, Larry Hogan, has done a very good job at trying to balance the need to save the economy and not have a total lockdown. We do think that he has done very well, and probably through his wife's connections from South Korea, buying a lot of the testing equipment. But at any rate, there's something else you found very striking about the flu rates being down 95% this season so far.
Well, that's right. How could the flu go dipping so low? The logical explanation seems to me to be that cases of the flu are being counted as if they were COVID, even though
yes.
they're not.
We don't know, but we know there were a lot of funny numbers before. And now the second part of this blitzkrieg flash is so important that in the pre-election countdown, there's some disturbing evidence of possible widespread voter fraud emerging. I think first, Lou, you have the situation, some violence that erupted in Baltimore.
That's right. From ZeroHedge.com, the headline reads, "Attempted Robbery. Security Guard Assigned a Ballot Box Shot in Baltimore." This is by Tyler Durden, Friday, October 16th. "The virus pandemic has resulted in an unprecedented number of Americans voting by mail or using ballot drop boxes this election season. Some of these drop boxes, especially those in Baltimore City, are guarded by a private security force, considering the left-wing-run metro area is a violent mess. On Thursday, Baltimore City Police confirmed a ballot box security guard was shot and wounded in northeast Baltimore," reported local TV news station WBAL, Channel 11. "City police said the incident occurred in the early morning hours on Thursday outside the Achievement Academy and the 2200 block of Pinewood Avenue. Officers found the 24-year-old security guard shot multiple times. He was immediately taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Baltimore City Election Director Armistead Jones told the Baltimore Sun that the guard was contracted by a private security company operating on behalf of the Baltimore City Board of Elections to monitor the city's ballot drop boxes. The police said in a statement, quote, "After looking at video surveillance footage at the parking lot, detectives learned that armed subjects approached the victim's vehicle and tried to open the car door." The statement continued, quote, "The ballot box was not touched and did not appear at any time to be the focus of the gunman," unquote. The election officials say the guard was in serious but stable condition. Maryland Elections tweeted, quote, "Our thoughts are with the victim of this morning's tragic shooting, as well as his loved ones. We are actively cooperating with the authorities investigating this matter, because this is an ongoing investigation," unquote.
And now, naturalnews.com, October 8th, had an article by Arsenio Toledo. Here was the headline, "Rigged. More than 2,000 voters in Los Angeles receive faulty mail-in ballots that make it impossible to vote for Trump." About 2,100 voters in the Woodland Hills neighborhood of Los Angeles, California, received, quote, "faulty absentee ballots that did not have a section to vote for the next president of the United States." The error was confirmed by the Los Angeles County Registrar Recorder County Clerk's Office on Monday, October 5th. Michael Sanchez, a spokesman for the county clerk's office, immediately put out a statement apologizing for the mistake. Quote, "While this has impacted a very small number of Los Angeles County voters, we nevertheless apologize to those affected," he said. "We could bring out many more instances in multi-areas in many states of this kind of thing going on." And now the latest thing is the AP reporting, "High Court allows 3-day extension for mailed Pennsylvania ballots." And we know Pennsylvania is a crucial state. "The Supreme Court will allow Pennsylvania to count mailed-in ballots received up to 3 days after the November 3rd election, rejecting a Republican plea in the presidential battleground state. The justices divided 4-4 on Monday an outcome that upholds a state Supreme Court ruling that required county election officials to receive and count mailed-in ballots that arrive up until November 6th, even if they don't have a clear postmark, as long as there is not proof it was mailed after the polls closed. Republicans, including President Donald Trump's campaign, have opposed such an extension, arguing that it violates federal law that sets Election Day as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, and that such a decision constitutionally belongs to lawmakers, not the courts. The state Republican Party chairman, Lawrence Tabas, said the party disagrees with the decision, and noting the 4-4 decision, quote, "It only underscores the importance of having a full Supreme Court as soon as possible." And Lou, you and I were talking, this is kind of like winning by default, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's exactly it.
Because yeah. Now it's like it's sort of a Mexican standoff. The lower court could bring the case back again. In other words, the Supreme Court is a do-nothing in this instance. They're just giving time for all the fraud to take place. They're an enabler, is what they are.
Yes.
And I think now we will get back to the idea here that nightmare scenarios of possibility hover around November 3rd. The calendar that Pastor Dana Coverstone, saw in a vision. And that was that page he saw. He saw that calendar page, November 3rd, ripped to shreds with UN, Chinese, and Russian troops and citizen roundups to follow. This could never happen, you say. Well, in 2019, would you have believed anarchists in America, summer 2020, would loot, kill, and burn down city businesses in U.S. blue cities? You must prepare for the worst. The most unbelievable, even if hot tyranny is not in the immediate offing. And we, again, urge you to pray about getting enough canned food in for maybe a year. Lou, you were talking to a grocery manager, and it's a very large, well-known chain here in Maryland. And what did he tell you just yesterday?
Well, I had asked him about a couple of items that we had gotten many times in the past when we still entered the store before COVID. And I had been unsuccessful getting them online and picking them up at the store. So I asked him, can you get a hold of these things? And he said, well, you know, we are not able to get the things we used to get in many cases. He said,
and he told you that if you go to any aisle, didn't he say there was a
certain
section?
I'm just going to say that, yes. If you go up and down any aisle in the store, you're going to find gaps because of items that we just can't get, to quote his exact words. And he went on to say that it's because of several problems. One is transportation, some sick drivers, so that they can't always get the trucks there. Another one is the supply. Some of these companies, due to the stress of the coronavirus, have actually gone out of business.
There's the key.
Yeah.
You see, but both parts are important. If the transportation chain, part of the chain, breaks down, it can't go from the grower to the consumer. And otherwise, too, if the companies have gone out of business, the food supply is going to drop. At the same time, we see Bill Gates' big Beyond Meat being pushed into even our local grocery stores. The idea is to take people away from the meat that they need. And we've seen studies, vegetarians have brain shrinkage. It's not for me. Is it for you?
No,
I don't think so. Now, as we said before, it's unbelievable, some of these things that are happening. So we're moving into that area now, Lou.
Now, let's see. Do I lead off with this one?
I think that you start this nightmare scenario.
Okay. I apparently hit the second half of this because it begins with the words in summer.
Oh, you know what? I believe that I start off with this because it came from Breitbart News, and they drew the attention of naturalnews.com leader Mike Adams, who then posted this red-hot warning. And here it is, when we're thinking about the nightmare scenarios, I have part one, you have part two.
Yes.
Radical left-wing group posts battle plans to unleash mass chaos and shoot Trump supporters in the streets if Trump wins the election. a radical left-wing group that claims it is working to stop the, quote, violent white supremacist machine that is the Trump administration and its supporters, end of quote, has posted a Google document containing detailed battle plans to take down the U.S. infrastructure and bring the nation to its knees following another Trump victory. The battle plans are posted in a document entitled Stopping the Coup, which was distributed by a group called Shutdown DC. Breitbart News explains the contents of the document. It casts its plan for disruption as a response to an imagined coup by the president in the case of a close election. In an email promoting the guide, Shutdown DC declares, "Preventing Donald Trump from stealing the election and remaining in office is likely to take mass, sustained, disruptive movements all over the country." The guide is a manual to that, quote, disruption. Parts of the guide are committed to ensuring, quote, a fair election. Parts of it, however, read like a manual for staging a coup rather than a guide to preventing one. We have to interject. I guess George Soros' U-Haul truck is going to come back, and they're going to be handing out a lot more weapons and whatever they need, the shields. The article says the guide's actions are consistent with detailed descriptions of anticipated left-wing terrorism that I described, and this is Mike Adams speaking, in a recent article entitled Likely Timeline of Events to Take Place from September 20 to January 20. That article declared, immediately after the election, Democrats will likely activate their full-blown chaos agenda to throw the country into mass chaos, making any accurate counting of remaining votes almost impossible. This will likely begin with so-called zero-day attacks that target key U.S. infrastructure, including the power grid, telecommunications, transportation, and water supplies. These attacks will plunge many areas of America into extreme chaos and lead to exploding crisis scenarios, which will quickly escalate into panic among the populations of certain cities where the attacks are focused. In concert with the zero-day attacks, left-wing insurrectionists will be given the go signal to flood into the streets, violently attacking Trump supporters with the full forces of the weapons that have been smuggled into the hands of Black Lives Matter terrorists via Communist China, which is providing heavy weapons to U.S. insurrectionists, full auto battle rifles, RPGs, mortars, and more. The Shutdown DC document promotes exactly this scenario, advocating, quote, broad-based direct action in the streets at the sites of power, end of quote. Here's a section directly from the report. In the context of a coup or highly contested election, we need to be clear that our actions must directly affect the structures and pillars of power. Our largest asset in this regard utilizes the ideas of noncompliance through massive, broad-based direct action. Where we can, we need to be in the streets, on the highways, or at the sites of power and power holders. In our jobs and lives, we must refuse to allow those taking control the legitimacy of the power they seek through strikes, slowdowns, and boycotts, and public refusal to accept an illegitimate ruling party. The group's tactics also clearly include targeting the military and the media to turn against the U.S. Constitution and, quote, side with the people. It suggests that activists ponder new ways to bring the country to its knees and disrupt normal day-to-day activities. In order to really win, we will need to force some pillars of power, business, military, media, or other major institutions to decide to side with the people, or at least get out of the way. If everyday life goes on, a despot will not leave power, and so there will be no incentive for real systems change. You want to think about what it might take to stop business as usual. As Breitbart.com explains, the guide also says that activists plan on physically protecting the vote count from counter-protesters, federal agents, or white supremacist militias. The guide indicates that activists intend to, quote, demand that no winner be announced until every vote is counted, and that they will launch, quote, mass coordinated action to that end, end of quote. If President Trump is declared the winner on election night, the Shutdown DC group calls for violent attacks against anyone supporting Trump's victory. Trump may try to declare himself the victor before the votes are counted, or Fox News might call the race. Those who can should be prepared to take action against those who are feeding into the stolen election narrative, including social media companies that are letting falsehoods or incitements to violence spread. The document repeatedly calls for, quote, direct action, that is violence, shootings, arson, etc., against Trump supporters, both at the individual and corporate levels. In the end, the actual electorate might be split, half truly believing that Trump was elected legally and half knowing that he was not. It is in this muddied context of legal and political wrangling that we must take action. We cannot wait to see how the chips fall. That will only ensure more power for the violent white supremacist machine that is the Trump administration and its supporters. As Breitbart explains, the document appears to be the product of a group called the Disruption Project, whose website describes itself as, quote, dedicated to supporting uprisings, resistance, and mass direct action. Shutdown DC's website indicates that it expects Trump to be, quote, forced from office, adding, quote, we're not seeking a return to normalcy because we know that returning to normal means returning to a system that was built on oppression. Rather, we see this as the time to rise up against the current crisis and move forward to dismantle the interlocking systems of oppression that have plagued this land for centuries. A blueprint for violence and mayhem across America. Continue what Mike says. Lou?
Yes, in summary, the Shutdown D.C. document is a blueprint for war on the streets of America, with the direct intention of denying Trump an election victory that he has rightfully earned from the voters. It's clear these radical leftists seek to take down America via mass chaos, arson, shootings, and other forms of violence, no doubt carrying out bombings and other tactics of mayhem that help achieve their goals of disrupting the counting of votes and restoring the rule of law. Should these left-wing terrorists make good on their promise, we call on President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, unleash the U.S. military, and grant them the rules of engagement to engage terrorists with a live fire. The time has come to put them down permanently. And if Trump won't act to defend this nation, then American patriots will. Once the election is over, the patience of American patriots who have put up with the escalating violence and mayhem of left-wing nut jobs will have come to an end. Beginning November 4th, the Patriots take America back from the lawless left, state by state, city by city, and block by block, using law-abiding police, military, and militia units as needed. It's all in the name of restoring the rule of law and eliminating domestic enemies who have forfeited their very right to be Americans in the first place. Since they are wholly incapable with civil society, with civil society and cannot be reasoned with, they must be engaged with legal force and halted from carrying out their plans of chaos and destruction. Prepare like your life depends on it, and don't plan on being able to call 911 because the police will probably be busy. And Mike says, watch all my firearms videos at prepwithmike.com to be fully prepared for close encounters should they come for you, as they are now promising. Do not initiate violence, but most definitely defend your life, your family, your community, and your nation against the lawless, violent terrorists who are attempting to destroy it. Support local law enforcement, National Guard troops, and military units if they are called into action and deployed in U.S. cities. And Mike also says you can hear a podcast by him by going to his website. And he says, hear my podcast to understand why you will beg for martial law once the left unleashes its terrorism agenda. If we do not defeat them now, they will hunt down and execute conservatives, Christians, and Trump supporters in the months ahead.
And we urge our listeners to go back and visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. For a while, the October 1st night was not working, but we believe it will very shortly be working. Every program was vital for a background of understanding what we're facing. And we talked about that live missile in Florida and the nearby Draken company that could mobilize people to take that live missile. It could be used against Air Force One. There were so many important things, so many vital things, as we track the global use of the coronavirus to bring in tyranny, for instance, in Australia. And we now know that Pat Robertson, the pastor on the 700 Club, has suggested that he thinks there's a possibility there will be assassination attempts on our president even after the election. And now, Natural News, October 20th, reported that during Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's NBC's Meet the Press interview, some sinister numbers, remember my new article, and that is at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go there and look under Breaking News, where I talked about the Illuminati has this code, a twisted honor code, with the necessity of telling their evil plans ahead of time. For instance, The Lone Gunman, the movie that had planes hitting the towers, that was probably that telegraphing ahead of time for the horrific events of 9/11. Well, Whitmer's sinister numbers were perched near a houseplant on a nearby coffee table as she spoke to NBC. The numbers were 8645. Now, 86 or 86 is shorthand for murder, explains Natural News. 45 stands for President Trump, the 45th president of the United States. Many of you listeners who cry out in prayer and in weeping for the 60-plus million babies murdered by abortionists here in America, recall the number for the popular abortion pill, RU486. Now, of course, this translates into the question, are you for killing? Are you for murder? RU486. Lou, what's next?
Well, next we have, for a party that can't decide whether it's for fracking or no fracking, defunding police or not, the Dems in the deep state are amazingly clear on tyranny. Here we have a headline, so-called Transition Integrity Project is the latest deep state coup attempt to depose and jail President Trump. This was by J.D. Hayes on October the 2nd from Natural News. As Americans brace for yet another round of violence, leftists have already threatened to unleash if President Trump and the GOP-led Senate attempt to name a successor to the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Another backroom coup plot is already unfolding.
And before you get into this full plot, Zero Hedge had an article October 16th by Tyler Durden. We just need to get a few bullet points from this article. Time for a real change at the FBI. And we're looking tonight at some of the sellouts of the RINOs and others in our intelligence organizations. And he says, time for a real change at the FBI. And he says, President Donald Trump received some poor advice when he came to select white shoe attorney Chris Wray to replace James Comey as FBI director. And he gives some bullet points what happened. That an examination of his September 17th testimony before the House Homeland Security Committee causes the jaw to drop in disbelief. He categorized Russian intermeddling with the U.S. elections as a primary global menace, taking a position contrary to that of his boss, Attorney General William Barr, who stated publicly on CNN that China poses the greater threat. Ray's unsupported statements regarding whom the Russians would prefer to see win the election shouldn't be taken at face value. Curiously, on the subject of domestic terrorism, the director stated that, quote, we look at Antifa as more of an ideology or movement than an organization. That's just unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I'm interjecting that. Ray went on to say that the single largest category of domestic terrorism is that arising from white supremacist organizations. Despite the number of ongoing FBI investigations, the numerous investigations into voter fraud arising from the use of mail-in ballots, Ray stated, as reported by the Washington Post's Devlin Barrett, in testimony before the Senate Homeland Security Committee on September 24th, that we have not seen historically any kind of coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election, whether it's by mail or otherwise. What we have seen historically is of no consequence. What we may see next month is of historic significance. So we can wonder about our leaders. We can wonder very, very much who sold out, who really loves American sovereignty. And this article says, a strong, independent, and neutral director is a sine qua non. One can't begin to imagine former directors Louis Free and William Webster bending to the will of a political authority with regard to affecting the conduct and outcome of an FBI investigation. So much is so important. And now, this overall terrible, sinister scenario. Lou, what's the name of it again?
The title is so-called Transition Integrity Project, is the latest deep state coup attempt to depose and jail President Trump. Going on, it says there's a lot about Trump's presidency that is unprecedented, beginning, of course, with the fact that he is a non-politician whose first elected office is the highest in the land. But what's also never been seen before is the level of fear and hatred he has generated by members of the shadowy deep state, the cabal of military-industrial complex players, aided and abetted by a wholly compromised Washington media corps. These same people, some of whom we've gotten to know simply by the virtue of Trump's presidential victory, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Page, Strzok, Orr, Steele, and so on, and the exposure of their Russian collusion hoax, are now engaged in a plot so dangerous and sinister that if it succeeds, we'll not have another legitimate defender of the people and champion of America first and always for a century. Unless, of course, there is a new 3% counter-revolutionary movement with the objective of returning our country to its constitutional moorings, something that won't happen without at least some destruction and a lot of bloodshed. A group of actors, players from the deep state have formed the misnamed, quote, Transition Integrity Project, unquote, allegedly to protect the integrity of a Joe Biden win in November.
Very Orwellian.
Very much so. Trump, these deep state actors tell us, is an existential threat to, quote, freedom and democracy, unquote. We're a republic, not, by the way, a democracy, and therefore likely will have to be removed because he won't accept the election results, which will have been fabricated, thanks to the left's massive mail-in fraud campaign that will kick in shortly after Election Day. The UNZ, and that's spelled UNZ, review notes, quote, the Transition Integrity Project, or TIP, is a shadowy group of government, military, and media elites who have concocted a plan to spread mayhem and disinformation following the November 3rd presidential election.
And remember Ike's warning to those Republicans in Pennsylvania in 1962 in the summer at the Bedford Springs Hotel. You are fighting for your lives. You don't know it yet. But when you do, you will be up to it. We're right there at this pivotal time with this Transition Integrity Project.
The strategy takes advantage of the presumed delay in determining the winner of the upcoming election due to the deluge of mail-in votes. The interim period is expected to intensify partisan warfare, creating the perfect environment for disseminating propaganda and inciting street violence. The leaders of TIP believe that a mass mobilization will help them to achieve what Russiagate could not. That is, the removal of Donald Trump via an illicit coup conjured up by behind-the-scenes power brokers and their Democrat allies.
So the shutdown D.C. is just the farm team. This
That's right.
Is the global hegemony that's up above. This is the upper tier.
That's right. These are the big boys. Already the Biden camp has hired more than 600 lawyers, including the Perkins Coe firm, the one Mrs. Clinton used to funnel payments through in order to finance the creation of the bogus Steele dossier. The plan is to challenge election results or fight back against expected Trump campaign lawsuits that challenge what would clearly be fraudulent mail-in ballots gathered by quote-unquote volunteers. and which will be switched out to reflect a Biden win. Already, Democrats on state courts are paving the way for this to happen by unconstitutionally overriding longstanding state laws that require mail-in ballots to be in on Election Day. State legislatures make laws, not courts. Judges cannot simply change statutory requirements on a whim. As Chris Farrell at the Gatestone Institute, in one of the greatest public disinformation campaigns in American history, the left and their never-Trumper allies, under the nom de guerre Transition Integrity Project, released a 22-page report in August 2020, quote, War Gaming, unquote, four election crisis scenarios. The outcome of each TIP scenario results in street violence and political impasse. Is it possible that the leadership of the American left, along with their never-Trumper allies, are busy talking themselves into advocating and promoting street violence as a response to a presidential election? The answer is yes. Expect violence in the aftermath of the election, because now that is the new normal, he added. These people at the TIP are literally going to try to steal the election, then blame it on Trump, and then jail him for resisting and trying to expose their fraud. This has only happened once in our country, the John F. Kennedy assassination, but it's about to happen again.
The spirit of murderous times and encroaching Soviet-style tyranny shows up in this headline, Monday, October 5th, Natural News by Ethan Huff. Former Twitter CEO Dick Costolo says capitalists will be the first ones, quote, lined up against the wall and shot into revolution. After learning that cryptocurrency firm Coinbase does not promote political activism and so-called social justice within its corporate culture, former Twitter CEO Dick Costolo went on a tweeting rampage, suggesting that non-woke capitalists like Coinbase head Brian Armstrong will be among the first people lined up against the wall and shot in the revolution. Costolo, who is apparently a firm believer in employee indoctrination, described corporate heads who disagree with his approach as me-first capitalists. He added that it isn't great leadership to simply run a company without teaching white employees that they are all racist, for instance. And there was some reaction to this by Carmine Sabia, and she talked about rules are for the peasants. You see, they'll not do anything for him. And another commentator from Breitbart News said he thinks he's saving his own rotted soul. Little does this cowardly sicko realize that they will come for him as quickly as they come for us. Let's move right on, Lou.
Not every congressman is a sold-out rhino. As the huge news broke about Hunter Biden and the big guy, probably Joe Biden himself, getting 10% kickback from his own son's foreign influence peddling, we had this headline. House Republicans call for emergency hearing after Facebook, Twitter blocked negative Hunter Biden story. Friday, October 16th, Natural News. Sparked by Twitter and Facebook's blocking of a negative New York Post article about Hunter Biden, ranking member of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, and other top Republicans on Thursday urged Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney, Democrat of New York, to hold an emergency hearing on election interference and big tech censorship. And this article by Masuma Hack was republished from theepictimes.com. Many Republican lawmakers took to Twitter to call out the tech giants for restricting and blocking the distribution of the Post story, alleging, according to obtained documents, now with the FBI, that Joe Biden may have lied about not meeting with a top Ukrainian gas firm executive at the time of his vice presidency. At the time, his son Hunter Biden held a paid position on the board of the gas firm, Burisma. Facebook told users that it is limiting the reach of the article until it is fact-checked by a third party. Twitter took a similar approach and blocked the article, calling it potentially spammy or unsafe. And the GOP members wrote in their letter to Maloney, quote, big tech silencing of conservative viewpoints and censorship of news undermines the integrity of the 2020 election and harms Americans' First Amendment right to freedom of speech, unquote. And the Republican members continued. Since the election is in only 19 days, and other big tech platforms continuously limit speech based on political ideology, we must immediately hold a hearing to learn who is responsible for making these decisions and what policies enable big tech to selectively limit speech on social media. President Donald Trump, conservatives, and classical liberals have said that big tech companies like Twitter, Google, and Facebook have engaged in the censorship of their viewpoints while simultaneously allowing far-left viewpoints to flourish with impunity. Quote, Facebook and Twitter's censorship of American journalism is part of a broader pattern by big tech to selectively suppress news and silence conservative views that don't square with their left-wing agenda.
And Lou, I'll interrupt to say there's another headline that just reinforces this. Friday, October 16th, naturalnews.com, Facebook, Twitter censoring bombshell Biden story because their executives work for his transition team. If you have encountered difficulty sharing to social media the bombshell New York Post story exposing Joe and Hunter Biden as treasonous criminals, the answer lies in big tech's incestuous relationship with the Biden campaign. As it turns out, two that we know of, executives both from Facebook and Twitter, respectively, recently quit their high-level jobs in order to join Biden's transition team. Carlos Mongi, who worked as policy director at Twitter up until this past September, will reportedly now be serving as co-chair of Biden's Infrastructure Policy Committee, though his specific role has not yet been named. Mongi has also worked on other presidential transition teams in the past, including as the director of agency review for failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Mongi also worked on the Obama administration team's 2008 National Security Working Group, according to his LinkedIn profile, notes Lucas Nolan, writing for Breitbart News. Similarly, former Facebook executive Jessica Hertz has also joined up with Biden's transition team to become, get this, its general counsel to oversee ethical issues. Hertz's new job description explains that she will now be responsible for, quote, enforcement, oversight, and compliance with regards to the ethics plan that the Biden team recently unveiled. In other words, Hertz will presumably work alongside the Biden campaign to develop policies that will protect Silicon Valley from facing scrutiny when it decides to pull the plug on President Trump, for instance, or on the Post. Post op-ed editor Sohrab Ahmari was among the first to have his account blocked from sharing the bombshell Biden story, illustrating the power that revolving door politics has on digital free speech. I, an editor at the New York Post, one of the nation's largest papers by circulation, can't post one of our own stories that details corruption by a major party presidential candidate, Biden, Ahmari tweeted in disgust. Later on, the official Post Twitter account was blocked entirely, as revealed by business reporter Noah Mansker. Twitter even went so far as to censor the government account of the House Committee on the Judiciary, which also tried to share the story in a tweet. According to Twitter, the story about Biden is potentially unsafe and thus cannot be shared. In a statement, Facebook's Andy Stone indicated that the Post story will be limited in reach until third-party fact-checkers get the chance to verify it. This is Elizabeth once again. You know, we've been tracking this thing about the deep state and treason and theater. There's pretense of defending our freedoms. This is everywhere. And, Lou, you have some of the treason clock's bullet points. You know, the hands really are at 1 minute till midnight.
Yes. First, we reported previously in an article describing the FBI's seeming unwillingness to interview any Jeffrey Epstein victims. To some, this appeared to be aiding the cover-up. Second, October 19th, Natural News reported the deep state remains fully in charge as the Justice Department ignores Trump's order to declassify all Russian collusion documents. In fact, the mainstream media suddenly developed an insane new talking point. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani is a Russian operative. This was beyond laughable. Continuing the eye-opening shock of treachery was the headline at naturalnews.com, October 13th. Homeland Security gives millions to groups claiming to fight against right-wing extremism. Quote, this new targeted violence and terrorism prevention program gave $10 million in grants recently to groups dedicated to stopping, quote, white supremacists and extremists of all kinds, end quote. The Wall Street Journal exposed the targeted violence plan. All this while, BLM Antifa is allowed to ravage cities. Elizabeth reported on how this and similar government programs have tried and will keep trying to build a Christian constitutionalist domestic terrorist, that's in quotes, domestic terrorist template. Just how fierce the American intelligence community's stranglehold is displays itself in the letter written by 50 former intelligence personnel. The letter purportedly asserts that the New York Post article is an example of Russia playing a part in putting out pre-election disinformation. Brennan and Clapper, signed that letter. October 5th, Shane Trejo in Big League Politics reported, quote, fast check, FBI, DOJ is lying. Stats show black terrorists far more dangerous than white supremacists, unquote. Excuse me, Peter Bernoitz.
I think that's Baynard.
Oh, is that how it's pronounced? All right, Peter Baynard's October op-ed in the New York Times caused little furor on social media or on the mainstream press. What was his topic? Why, Benoit calmly called on the United Nations to stage an international intervention in order to stop Donald Trump from winning the November 3rd election. Ethan Huss, naturalnews.com headline, October 13, called out his op-ed for what it was. And this is the headline, treason. New York Times calls for UN takeover of America. Natural News, October 20th, reported this shocking development, not covered by the mainstream media. The pro-Trump Twitter page said, Whitmer is encouraging attempts against President Trump just weeks after someone sent a ricin-laced package to the White House. A woman was arrested in the U.S.-Canada border several days later in connection with this plot.
Did you listeners hear that in the MSM? I think not. And we hope that you will tell others about our program, DividedKingdomRadio.com. What were some of the other bullet points, Lou?
We have one more. Now we can expect possibly more yawn theater as the Senate hearing grills the three big tech heads of Google, Twitter, and Facebook. National Files' Jack Hadfield on September 24th had this headline. Bail Project, tied to Antifa, U-Haul received millions from Bill Gates, Jack Dorsey, among others. Can we say Benedict Arnold's in big tech?
Yes, and Lou, there were still more bullet points I think that we can add. There was a significant interview occurring October 19th when Sean Hannity interviewed Senator Ron Johnson. And some crucial points from Senator Johnson are the FBI head, Christopher Wray, is stonewalling whether he had Hunter Biden's hard drive during the Trump impeachment hearings. And the report is 87 pages. There is a huge web of connections and the mainstream media cover-up. And he said that the mainstream media's cover-up is a scandal in itself. After the FBI's silence, Johnson wrote a letter, and in it, Senator Ron Johnson said the FBI owes us a briefing. And in an earlier hearing, Senator Johnson had asked the FBI head, Wray, why the FBI continued to use the discredited Steele dossier after they knew it was fake, and Wray gave no answer. Tucker Carlson, October 20th, said, our core institutions are being destroyed. This is so important. We need more populism and outrage in America. Maybe there was enough outcry after all for Zero Hedges' October 16th headline read, in stunning reversal, Twitter no longer blocking New York Post Biden article. But Lou, it's not just the heads of big tech who are anti-American and donating to the Bail Project even as the big corporations fund BLM? No, we've got CHICOM fact-checkers. New York Post op editor Sohrab Ahmari revealed on the Tucker Carlson Show October 20th that more than half a dozen Chinese nationals, and I guess they're here on those HB visas, they're on Facebook's fact check, hate speech engineering team. Now, that should give you the willies if you're a Christian, if you're a patriot, if you're a gun owner, if you're a nationalist. It's so nice to know our freedoms of speech are being guided by imported CHICOM nannies, isn't it? And, of course, we know that Twitter's lies about Hunter Biden's laptop, it was rightfully seized under the repair policy, and their excuse was it was supposedly hacked. But there's been so much evidence now accumulating that... the hard drive was extracted and copied, despite Hunter failing to pay his bill and abandoning it at the repair shop. The Post even included in its story an image of the signed contract. This is the New York Post, which again justifies the repair shop owner in confiscating the device and using it as evidence against Joe Biden's bid for the presidency. This story is far from over, and... we won't have time to do everything tonight, but Lou, I think you need to pick up the story about the underbelly of the New World Order. So many of these big figures are involved in harm to children. Why don't you pick up that short article about the allegations about Hunter's hard drive?
Yes, this is from National File. The title, Documents, Photos, Mother Accuses Biden Group of Misconduct in Teen Boy Bathroom Encounter, by Patrick Howley, October the 15th, 2020. Democrat.
Do you not have another one there, a shorter one, about the hard drive?
Oh, yes, I do.
Let's go with that one.
All
but
right,
listeners,
yes.
We have so much to report. We're running out of time tonight. You must tune in again and tell your friends, because we have a lot more to expose about some of these key figures. Go ahead with that.
Yes, this one reports Hunter Biden's hard drive revealed, quote, underage obsessions, unquote, FBI assigned child porn investigator. One American News Network, OANN reporter, Janelle Ryan, who claims to have seen the contents of Hunter Biden's hard drive, noted that she uncovered underage obsessions. She wrote on Twitter, Just saw for myself a behind-the-scenes look at the hashtag Hunter Biden hard drive, drugs, underage obsessions, power deals, unquote.
Is there a little more there?
Let's see. And a report by Revolver News further noted that the FBI agent who has subpoenaed Hunter's laptop, Joshua Wilson, specializes in investigating child pornography.
All right. We'll get into a lot more next week. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, you can send a little cash, a money order, not even signed. Checks only written to WWCR to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Pray for our president. Pray for our country to repent. Good night.